Tonight, Elliot Serrano rides sidecar as we play our usual Friday favorites, What's in the Box, and get a weekend windup from Rob Martier. Then later, bartender Tim provides the drinks as Hannah Stanley checks in. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Friday? It's Friday, Elliot. We made it. Do you feel like this is a week where you have to go, just get me to Friday? I just need to make it to Friday.
Wednesday, I needed to make it to Friday. It was one of those.
It was weeks. In the air. It was in the air. Yeah. I was at a party tonight that you missed, that you forgot about, a tiki party.
I was napping.
Oh, she did it upright. She now figured out how to pre-make all of the Mai Tais. Mm. She had a drink called a painkiller, a bunch of different things. But there was a woman who grabbed a cocktail and she goes, because this week. And I think everyone.
This year.
Well, yes. Although last year kind of smacked of it too. Smacked of needing to get out of 2015. This is so surreal, I think, when it comes to whether it's politics or the economy or global situations, violence, racial tension. Yeah, let's all just relax a little bit. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing right now. You know what? Tonight's a good night for this. Everyone just take a deep breath through your nose. Just take a deep breath. Hold it for 3 seconds. One. Two, three, let it out. Just all that, let all that go. Whatever it is, whatever tension, whatever's bothering you, whatever makes you angry. I started my day out, to be honest with you, in a lovely way. I did a presentation for the Bensonville Library. They had a staff day where they get together. They talk about what's coming up this year. And they wanted me to talk a little bit about my experiences as a mother of a child with a disability and to talk about, what's important. And I have this company called With Kind Words. And, you know, maybe a lot of listeners find it surprising that because I spend 3 hours talking about a lot of different things. And sometimes I sound angry or, I have a lot of rage about things or maybe I sound silly. But the things that make us angry, is often the stories we tell ourselves. And not what's actually happening. If we focus on what's actually happening in a situation, it's easier to sort of figure out how to respond to it. Because we do. We hear someone's tone of voice and we go, why do they sound like that? What do they mean by that? Or if it's a criticism, we don't hear that someone's trying to help us. We hear that we're bad at what we do. So that was a little bit of what I talked about this morning. What's actually happening is what I try to focus on. What is actually happening? So what's actually happening right now? It's Friday, and we're going to play Exploding Cats later. I didn't realize that.
Kittens.
Oh, I want to do cats. Baby kittens, it's sad if they're exploding. Now, not that exploding a cat is a good thing.
Yeah, but they are kittens.
Craig, have you ever played Exploding Kittens? No? We're going to play Exploding Kittens at 1 a.m. Maybe 12:30.
The most popular.
Hello, everybody. That's happening. Look at that. They stopped and to say hi. It's Michigan Avenue. It's a lovely evening. Hold on.
We'll
talk about Exploding Kittens, but let me talk to the people on the street real quick. Hi, folks. How are you doing?
Hi.
This is quite a crowd. Are you all? I feel like you should all be together, even if you're not. Can I ask you to all travel in one group now? Whatever you're doing for the rest of the evening, please introduce yourself to each other, including the gentleman wearing a shirt that said, "I never finish anything." What is that? What does your shirt say? It's covered with a strap right behind you. I know what yours says. I just read it. Oh my. Nope. I don't know what the rest of that says. She doesn't know either. You're looking at it.
Oh my God.
Let me ask you with the cup. Where are you from? Oh, he's drinking.
We're from Germany.
You know what? I suspected as much, but I didn't want to assume.
Why?
I don't know. There's something very... Elliot, if you had to guess...
They look very Von Trapp, yes.
A little Von Trapp. Is it the shirt over his shoulder?
Everything.
A little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, the Von Trapp family. Are you going to climb over into Switzerland? So what brings you to Chicago?
Sorry?
What brings you to Chicago?
Just vacation and my uncle. My uncle lives here.
He does. Did he move here from Germany?
Yes.
And how do you... Is this your first time in Chicago?
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
It's a quite nice city.
Oh, thank you. We'll take that. We will take quite nice city.
Yeah.
Can you put that down on our travel, our brochure? Quite nice,
quite nice
city. Is it the people, the food? What would you say? The.
You
can answer. We can go to her. What's your name?
Lisa. Hi,
Lisa. Do you agree that it's a quite nice city?
Yeah.
You were saying the people?
The people and the food.
And the.
Good, yeah.
We do like the food. And now, when you come from Germany, do you also sometimes like see what the German food would be like here? Because the Brauhaus is fantastic.
Yeah.
Is that too generic to say go eat some German food? Would that be weird? Because we have a wonderful German population here and great tradition.
Yeah?
Yes? All right, then. How much longer are you here for?
Only for 3 days.
Three more days. Go find the Brauhaus in Lincoln Square.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Everybody else is like, get away from the microphone. We want to talk to you. No, thank you so much. No, she's like, I don't want to go to the mic. I'm not going to make you. Oh, don't hide. She's so sweet. Hello. We can just wave. All right. We'll take a quick break in just a moment. But, Elliot, we're going to play Exploding Cats.
Kittens.
Why are they still kittens? Can't you make them cats?
Okay, we'll make them cats.
What? Now, how do you play Exploding Cats?
you wait till the kittens get big, and then you let them explode.
Is it similar to Cards Against Humanity?
No, it's different. It's like a strategy game. I want to say it's almost like Uno.
Okay.
But with violence.
Will it work to talk about it on the radio while we're playing?
It might.
Are we better off with Cards Against Humanity?
Not if you want to keep your license.
We can be creative with language.
This is true.
All right, then. We also have our friend Tim coming in tonight with some cocktails. And we have What's in the Box coming up after midnight. I don't know. That's a little bit we try to figure out what time. It depends on the conversation that we're having. I'm a little amped tonight, not just because of the tiki party, but also because I was at Chicago Costume today trying on a lot of different costumes. I didn't take a lot of selfies because our very own Kristen Decker was taking video. So I was, we were trying to run and gun. It was very hot. And there were some costumes. I did a old school Harlequin.
Harlequin?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she wears a bodysuit.
A jester's outfit, yes.
Yes, with a hat and a mask.
Yeah.
And boots.
You're going to be warm in that.
Yeah, I don't know if I can wear that tomorrow.
You'll be really warm in that.
But it seemed as though the people who, let's say, not necessarily my bosses, but superiors, were a little bit excited for me to wear a Harley Quinn-type outfit.
Which one? Because there are two.
Both.
The other one, too?
Yes. There was actually a postcard for the Admiral having a Harley Quinn contest tonight.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they recommended that I go to that.
I think you'd do well.
Do I either have the coolest boss in the world who's very proud of the way I look in a Harley Quinn outfit? Maybe she's been put to a bet. She wanted to see if I would be talked into it.
That is
a possibility.
I'm thinking that is probably the most likely possibility.
I think that too.
Yeah.
Do I have to do the makeup too if I do Harley Quinn?
Yeah, you got to go all the way.
I don't think I have like blue and red makeup. Isn't that what she has like dripping down her face?
Yeah, she's like kind of like smattered it on.
It's a little kabuki style.
A bit.
All right.
But not as, she's not kabuki, that's for sure.
No. The, what they call shorts were disconcerting to the woman that was helping me out with costumes.
So, okay, wait. Were they,
no.
You insisted that they were
Panties.
Panties last time.
They are panties. Though. They're still panties. I was wearing something underneath that fortunately was smaller than those panties. Which was a thong.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that was just barely enough to fit underneath the
Harley
Quinn
bottoms.
Margot
Robbie wore those. And I mean, I know there's...
I'm a little more statuesque than a Margot Robbie.
True.
Yeah.
But there's some friends of yours that do that. They cosplay quite a bit.
Yes.
And she...
Jenny Byers.
Yeah, Jenny Byers had a screen-accurate Harley Quinn outfit.
Yes, she did.
That she made herself. Mm-hmm. Too. So I'm wondering how they would.
Should go to Admiral tonight.
Well, I know she's at Wizard World.
Yes.
So, but yeah, she might.
She was Xena today.
I know. It's a great Xena. And she does a great Ripley, too, and Ellen Ripley from Alien.
See, those. Okay. You know what? Maybe we have to ask the audience. Do I ask the audience which costume to wear? I have in my possession. So 312-981-7200 by phone call or by text. These are the choices. I have old school Harley Quinn. I have Suicide Squad Harley Quinn. I have Alice in Wonderland, which I think is kind of sweet.
Maybe you should just tweet pictures of so
those
everyone
costumes.
Can see what they look like.
I don't have enough
Why not Wonder Woman?
I have a terrible Wonder Woman costume. It's got the velvet top. It's that one that kind of slouches down. Mm-hmm. It's not a very good fitting Wonder Woman at all. I'm going to have that custom made someday.
Custom? Yeah. See, I've had a very frustrating Wonder Woman experience today, in fact.
Did you try it on a Wonder Woman costume?
No.
Because that would be frustrating, I think.
It would
for you.
Be. But I'm telling you, I would rock a Wonder Woman costume.
No, I'm not. I don't doubt
it. I had a heck of a time getting you Wonder Woman cupcakes.
What?
For your birthday. because you can't just walk into a place and.
Oh, no!
I can't just walk into a place and get Wonder Woman
wear,
things.
I can't wear a Harley Quinn squad, a Suicide Squad, if I have Wonder Woman cupcakes.
But you, okay, here's the thing.
I'm not going to have cupcakes.
You're going to have cupcakes. The problem was because you can't find Wonder Woman unless you have it custom made.
Oh, no.
Same thing. So I went for the Wonder Woman colors.
Oh, yes. No, I love that.
For the cupcakes.
No, that works out. I will take that as a Wonder Woman theme.
But,
thank you.
I want it because your birthday was on Wednesday.
Yes.
I wasn't here.
What did Roger do? Roger.
And then Roger also brought some Kahlua.
Kahlua.
To go with the cupcakes.
So. I drove here tonight. Yeah,
well,
so it's all
okay, we won't be doing too much. But yeah, so I just looked for the Wonder Woman colors.
I think that's brilliant, and I love that very much. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, and belated happy birthday.
Well, are you kidding me? I bought you a onesie like 6 months after your birthday. So this is fantastic.
Well, no, the Wonder Woman stuff is coming. It's going to take a little longer.
This
takes longer.
No, thank you very much. I have not posted on Facebook yet all my thank yous because I was trying to go through individually and thank people. That's so hard. You can't scroll very quickly.
No.
I was trying to do like a copy and paste thank you. And if it was something specific that they said, I tried to address it. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah,
it was a great birthday week.
Just go like, acknowledge.
It's not personal
enough.
It's not
hard.
I don't like that.
Well,
all right, then.
Anyway.
It's all fine. I bought a Wonder Woman baseball hat yesterday, so I should have worn that tonight.
You could.
It's very cool. Thank you very much for the cupcakes.
You're very welcome.
I'm so glad you're here tonight. Let's talk more Wizard World when we come back. We interviewed... Hold on a second. And I'm sure this has happened all day today. Do you notice something? Do you notice something in front of me? Do you see anything different?
Yeah.
If you go to WGNradio.com, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to focus for the rest of the show because they've given us a new arm for the microphone.
It's like you're doing your act.
I don't understand what's happening.
You're wrestling
it. So for the entire 2 years I've been on this show, there's been this sort of antiquated microphone arm with springs, and it was jimmied with like a pencil to make sure it didn't bend and it would squeak when I moved it, and we all try to be very subtle about moving our microphone, and that's, we have a pneumatic arm now.
Wow.
It
looks like the thing that Ellen Ripley used to fight the alien in Aliens.
And people are going to ask, how did it get broken? Well, Patty was fascinated and couldn't stop rowing across the board with it. All right, let me play with this while we take a break. This feels very Friday. You are listening pretty late, and you're my Sharona. Is that bad to be someone's Sharona, do you think? Will you be my Sharona?
Always.
All right, then.
I assumed I was the Sharona.
Yeah, no, you're my Sharona.
All right.
I don't know what that means, though. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, joined by Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. You can go to geektome.net and read all the wonderful things that he writes. We haven't had a chance to really talk too much about Suicide Squad and a lot of the conversation that's come out of that. I know the movie is 2 weeks old, but Elliot, I was in a bathroom and at the I have an idea for a podcast, and it's just recording people reviewing movies in the bathroom. Because the thing about it is, one, other people seem to talk way more than I do in bathrooms. I am a go into the stall, conversation stops kind of person.
Get your business done.
But if the other person I go in with insists on talking, I will talk to some extent. There are people who will, you know, like the single bathroom situation.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into a bathroom and someone came with me and I thought they wanted to just do their makeup or something. No, they had to go. And I was in the room with them. And that took me way all the way back to when I was 12 years old. And let's call my friend Kelly, because that was her name. She did the same thing. She followed me into the bathroom and sat on her hamper and said, I thought you were going to pee. And I was like, I don't know. And I felt so much pressure to just go. Girls do this. There's no girls on the show right now for me to ask. But yeah, girls do this.
Wait, okay. I want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly.
Yes, girls
open
do
bathroom,
this.
Open bathroom. Just walked in with you.
The open bathroom that kind of has a single room
right.
to it. Yes.
And no like stall.
No.
So if you decided to make use of the facility – they're there, like, in full view of you.
And they're friends of the show, but I was like, oh, that's happening. And they go to the bathroom and took turns while I was like, oh, I'll just do my makeup.
No.
Yeah. Yes, there's a weird social... But it's not uncommon. And the first time experienced it for women, the first time I ever experienced it was when I was 12 years old and Kelly followed me into her. We were at her house. She followed me in and sat on a hamper while I used
the bathroom.
Well, and I took a moment and she was almost insulted that I wouldn't go in front of her.
is this a woman thing or a Kelly thing?
No, because like I said, there have been women throughout my life who follow me or for whatever reason, we end up in a bathroom situation together and they just go to the bathroom.
Okay. Women of Chicago, can you confirm, is this a thing?
312-981-7200. Is this a thing? Oh, those are guys. They can't tell us if that's a thing.
I just need to know because I'm going to tell you, that is not a guy thing.
No.
That is definitely not a guy thing. I need to know if women follow each other into open bathrooms and expect to be able to just
go to the bathroom in front of each other. Yes.
I'm having a hard time grasping that.
312-981-7200. I can't be the only person this happens to.
I have a feeling you might.
I go along with it because I'm like, if it's okay with them, I guess I'm okay with this moment. Yes.
To me, there's just the bathroom. It's okay.
It's not sacred, but it seems it's private.
It is. It's very private.
Yes.
I can't. Okay. This is a thing that men absolutely will not do in the men's room, okay? You do not make eye contact with the guy in the stall, like through the crack in the door. I mean, you know, a lot of times you're looking, you do not make eye contact.
Yeah, I agree. That's how I feel about going to the bathroom. For me, it's when you close the stall door, you stop talking to each other.
I really like the bathrooms that the stalls are like full doors. Like there's some hotels where you go into the stall.
Like its own room.
Its own little
room. All the way down to the ground. Yeah. The walls go all the way to
the best bathrooms on the planet was the ones when I went to Harrods in London.
Ooh.
And it is like its own little room. You go in and before you even go into the stall, the attendant there goes in, spritzes some cologne or whatever near, cleans it up for you. And then when you go in, you close the door, it's like quiet.
Mm-hmm.
No one can talk to you.
Yeah.
You can't
privacy.
See anybody, can't hear anything.
No.
And you can stay in there as long as you want.
It's just you and your business.
And your business.
More after this. Maybe some business, we don't know, on 720 WGN. I don't know why I pushed that one. It's kind of a creepy sound. I don't know why that would be for Hannah Stanley. Hold on, Hannah. Hannah, this isn't... Does this feel appropriate for you, Shanna?
It's slightly appropriate because I'm obsessed with watching the Olympics.
Are you? I haven't watched. How many hours do you think you've clocked, Hannah?
25 plus.
Really?
Yeah.
I've clocked maybe 15 minutes.
Wow.
I kind of wish I'd watched more of it. I feel like I've missed a lot of great moments. But I watched a little bit of swimming and none of it like from beginning to end. I've mostly seen the awards being, the anthems being played and people crossing finish lines. Mostly I'll have someone go, "Oh, did you see that?" and I try to catch it at the last second. I'll see someone post something. I should have been following you. Were you posting a lot about the Olympics?
I was last week when it was far more swimming and women's gymnastics, really a lot of action there. Swimming ends in the first few days, and then it drops off for me. But women's volleyball, there was, three times Carrie Walsh-Jennings has won gold on beach volleyball, and then now with a new partner was going for her fourth consecutive gold medal, and then was beaten by Brazil. So I do for 17 days. I am an expert on all Olympic sports and then I forget everything for 4 months.
I love that. I love that you enjoy it so much because I did not get into it. And I'm not sure why. I think when I was a kid, I really got into it. I mean, I remember Mary Lou Retton really getting that. Mm-hmm. That vault was amazing. Actually, do you remember Julianne McNamara? Do you remember that name?
Yes, I do.
I love Julianne McNamara, who won. She actually won more medals than Mary Lou Retton did, but they were silvers and bronze. And she actually obviously got the gold for the team, along with Mary Lou Retton and the other members. But I think that was, I'm trying to remember how many other Olympic, Carrie Strug I enjoyed.
Sure.
Gabby Douglas was amazing, both as Olympics. Yeah. But okay, let's go to that for a moment. The controversy over whether or not she should have had her hand over her heart. What did you think when that all kind of exploded?
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't really criticize those athletes for just about anything, with the one exception being Ryan Lochte, and we can talk about that in a second. But she got a lot of flack for a lot of things, Gabby Douglas. And so I stayed a lot away from that because I don't know. Put your hand wherever you want it. You're still being respectful.
I agree. She was standing. She was, you know, she was, I guess you would say, at attention. It's not.
Yeah. And a lot of times people put their hands kind of behind their backs during it. They don't always put their hands over their hearts. I feel like if you're engaged and paying attention, I believe she was mouthing the words or singing along. She wasn't mic'd, so I don't know.
Right.
Good for you. Right. I mean, I stand in the United Center and scream during the anthem for Hawks games, and that's respectful in Chicago. So I'm not going to criticize anybody.
Yeah, I thought it was a strange moment of criticizing. And, you know, and people started posting pictures. Elliot, what did you think when that was sort of the uproar last week?
Oh, hey, Elliot.
Hey.
Elliot, Hannah, Elliot.
How you doing?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yeah, no, because then the male shot putters did the exact same thing, and you didn't see anything about that.
Oh.
Yeah. No, of course not, yeah, because they're men.
Right. Well, then that's what was going around on social media, was that because it was a young black woman that she was getting criticized, but these, you know, white males are, you know, no one cares. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's one thing if it's the Pledge of Allegiance, but they weren't doing the Pledge of Allegiance. It was the national anthem. So,
which, I mean, it is a much more high-profile sport. Women's gymnastics versus many of the track and field events, probably all of them combined. There's more of a fan base for women's gymnastics, so more people saw that. But she really did get a lot of criticism. She didn't make the all-around the individual all-around competition. Only two athletes get to go from each team, and so she was criticized for, you know, having a, you know, kind of a sourpuss on her face while she was sitting in the stands cheering on her fellow teammates. And I kind of felt really bad for her. You work for all these years and you give up so much in your life, and then you still have people like online slamming you. It's kind of horrendous.
And I'm saying that's just when the cameras caught her too. I mean, I know I've made funny faces sitting in the stands. It doesn't have anything to do with how I'm feeling at that particular moment.
Right.
Although speaking about the national anthem and all the talk about it, did you see the bit with Usain Bolt where he was doing a interview with a Spanish television station, probably Brazilian or Spaniard, but. And the American national anthem was playing just as the woman was talking, and he goes to her and goes, "Is this live? Are we doing this now?" She went, "Yes." He goes, "Well, can we wait a moment?" And he actually stopped the interview for the American national anthem, of all things, as it was playing, you know, like being respectful of it, which was really which was really impressive. This guy is going to like own everything.
I know. Well, and that was another controversy that came up, though, with Ellen DeGeneres, by the way.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yes. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but at the same time, at the same time, there was a listener who called into Bill and Wendy's show, a black woman who called in and said she thought it was funny, but when she first saw it, it hit her a little hard because it was a white woman on the back of a black man. And if you take it that way at its face value, you know, with your experience coming to it that way, that was where she was. And then she thought, well, it's Ellen, and then added the rest of that context, whereas we start with, it's just Ellen. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Right. And it's absolutely in our culture, in our society. It's a shame that that's kind of her knee-jerk reaction. And I don't blame her in any way. There's history and baggage and, you know, a lot that goes into that. I obviously don't get it, but I can empathize with the fact that that's where she goes in her brain.
Right.
But hopefully we'll get to a point where we can all go, it's a joke. Like, it's Ellen, and it's a joke.
And Usain Bolt himself retweeted the image.
He
thought it was funny, too. So, you know,
he does get a lot of flack for being very arrogant, but I don't blame him. But people love him. Reporters love him because he does great interviews, and he's very respectful, as Elliot just said. And he's just, you know, very, very good to his fan base. He seems to be, you know, a pretty great little package. put together there.
Yeah. No, he's an amazing. What did someone post? They wouldn't be surprised. Oh, Jen Kramer posted she would not be surprised if they someday when he passes away, if they did an autopsy and found an engine in his chest, a car engine.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't think Usain Bolt's going to pass away. He's just going to approach the speed of light. And that'll be it. He'll be like a black hole. He's never going to reach that point.
Oh, now be careful because people might take the wrong way.
Oh, Jesus.
Science, yeah. No, folks, I was going to say he's like the flux capacitor.
The flux capacitor.
Back in the future where he just goes so fast that he just kind of like, it's a bolt of lightning and he's gone.
Oh, look what she did there. She actually helped me get back to Wizard World because the cast of Back to the Future is in town. Christopher Lloyd. Right now, they could be listening to us talking about that, just referring to the flux capacitor. Christopher Lloyd, Leah Thompson, and Michael J. Fox are all in town.
Which would be kind of weird because that's a little bit like the Matrix.
It is a little bit like being inside the story. Elliot's giving us both the look, and you in absentia, that it's not at all like The Matrix.
Yeah, you're crossing your fandoms there.
I don't have any fandom with The Matrix. I just randomly throw it out, so it's fine.
Although Christopher Lloyd as Morpheus would really make it interesting, if you ask me.
Again, totally lost me.
All right. But yeah, I mean, they're in town, right? I just keep waiting for them to say that Michael J. Fox couldn't make it or Chris Lloyd had another thing because that Wizard World unfortunately sometimes has those issues where they say certain guests are going to show up and then they don't.
Well, Barry Bostwick was supposed to do an interview today with us, but he had to cancel for filming. But we had him last year, so yeah. I would assume. I'm excited. Hannah, have you been to Wizard World?
I have not.
Are you going this weekend?
I am not. No.
Do you have any interest in doing that sometime?
I would. I definitely would. We have baseball, Little League baseball commitments tomorrow, and then I'm on the air on Sunday.
Wait. It's the end of August. How do you still have Little League?
Oh, it's fall ball, baby. That's a thing now. I've learned.
Okay.
You play fall ball.
Fall. Yeah. You sound excited about fall ball.
Don't I?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have 4 games in 5 days.
What?
The week after next. Yeah, it's a thing.
Are they all at your local park district, or do you have to travel for these?
This one is actually a travel, but it's close. It's like within 2 towns. So, I mean, at the most, I'm driving 15 minutes, which is fine.
All right, then.
And that is probably the most I ever want
to travel. I used to just hook my mitt on my handlebars and my 10-speed.
And take off,
ride down to Norwood Park. My parents made it to some games, but it was all on me. Is it ever on kids anymore to get themselves to their games at all?
No.
Do any of the kids that play at your park? None, Hannah?
No, we actually had practice. They had practice. The boys had practice today at the field across the street from where I wait for it used to live. So, had I still lived at that house, he could have walked across the street, but I don't. So we had to drive.
There you go.
See, now you wish you hadn't moved.
So many times. Yeah.
So many. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. There's good things.
It's okay. It's just a longer commute.
Right.
You know, when I'm like driving home at 2 a.m, I'm like, I'd be home by now.
If you were to dress up for Wizard World, what would be your costume, do you think? What's a Hannah Stanley pick out?
Wow. This is a great question because I've been looking through Facebook and I know you went to get your costume today.
Yeah.
And Stephanie Menendez, who we work with, had a costume and her daughter was in a costume. I don't know. Can I do? I think I'm going to have to think about this.
Okay. Black Canary.
To what?
Black Canary. They didn't have Black Canary there. Yeah. They didn't have. They had a great selection and they had some great, especially updated items. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Costume has several locations and they were telling me that because this one on Montrose is kind of their warehouse, it's the first location, it's the biggest. So they have a big volume, but the things that are going to move faster are like in Wicker Park. So just so you know, it's interesting because like the Flash costume that Griffin wore at the at Comic-Con is from the Wicker Park store. And I couldn't decide on something for him. And we have so many costumes in my house. Are you costume people, Hannah, for your kids?
We are. Primarily my daughter, but my son occasionally gets into it too. Like he has a Captain Hook costume and so we do and he plays along too with Halloween. Like my daughter wanted to be Anna from Frozen this past Halloween and so he was Kristoff. So he plays along. Like he'll be the coordinating costume. He's a good brother.
That's fun. You know, when the family does it together, it's a good time, especially siblings, because those are going to be great pictures of blackmail with them with later.
Right?
Yes.
I think if I could choose anybody, it would be Elsa, the Ice Queen.
Oh, that's a good one. And they have great Elsa costumes at Chicago Costume. I tried on an Ariel one, but it didn't zip over certain parts. We're hanging out with Hannah Stanley, and we'll find out what's coming up on her show as she fills in for Frank on Sunday. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late.
I know, your lawn looks...
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Friday night, and on Sunday, Hannah Stanley is going to be in for Frank Fontana. What do you have coming up on Sunday?
You know, that's really funny. I'm not entirely sure. We have, you know how I am. I always have like 3 inches of paper of stories and ideas and articles, and then the producer and I have to weed through them. There will, as always, be talk of design and house stuff, and you know me with my DIY not stuff. I'm always working on projects around here.
I know that you've done a lot of work in your home, and I am going to take on a bathroom renovation, and I'm not going to do any of it. I have to get people to do it. I mean, if there was one thing in the bath, let's say you're going to gut the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Is it, what element do you leave to them, and what do you try to do yourself?
Mold. If there's anything that involves mold, you need to be really, really, really careful. And you're in an older building, and so that's something that, through no fault of your own or anybody else's, that could be a big issue. So when you do, you're going to want to probably, I'm guessing, I don't know, are you going to redesign any of it, or are the pieces staying in place?
The elements will be the bathtub stays. You mean the bathtub, the sink, the toilet, all stay in the same place. Yes, it's
okay,
or design.
So there's no plumbing. That's great.
Right. Yeah, it's a very small bathroom. I mean, I want to say, like, I don't know. What do you think, Elliot? Like 6x6, if?
Yeah.
It's small. Yeah, it's a very small bathroom. Yes.
Okay. It's compact. It's concise. Okay, so are you taking it down to the studs then?
I think we're going to take it down to the studs.
Good. Yeah, that's probably the best, just because you want to make sure that the plumbing is fine, that you don't have, you know, crazy weird pipes happening and leaks that you don't know about. And then there is a possibility for mold, and that's something you definitely want to bring in professionals for. The other things, like once you get it kind of sheetrocked and waterproofed, you want to make sure you have a nice, like, waterproof barrier there. God, I sound like Lou. I don't mean to be
this
sounding
great.
Like,
no, tell me.
But once that's all done, tiling is something that you can absolutely do if you want. It's tedious, but you can.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if I want to do that part.
When I was doing the backsplash, which you've seen pictures
it's
of,
gorgeous,
I
by the way.
Done, thank you. I haven't done a big reveal on my laundry room because it's not very big. I feel kind of weird, like, hi, here's my laundry room. But the backsplash looks amazing. I'm really, really proud of it. And I was halfway through going, this is really, really tedious, and I get me a sledgehammer because I'm going to the bathroom next. So I really want to do the bathroom floor.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want, yes. Tell
okay.
me.
Okay, since we're on the topic of bathrooms here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to, I don't know if you were listening earlier, Hannah.
Oh, yes, yes, let's do this. Yes,
okay.
No,
that's okay. Because
that's
right.
Olympics, again, Olympics.
No.
That's fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Patty tells me that some women will walk into an open bathroom with other women and you all just like get together, and while one of you's like wet the sink or sitting on a hamper or whatever, the other one uses the bathroom
in front of each other.
In front of everybody. Is this a thing that women do?
Some women.
Because I don't. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I don't believe it.
Did you hear what she said?
What?
Yeah.
Okay. What? What planet?
Yeah.
Is
that
this,
happens. Now, Hannah, are you a willing participant, or do you go along because everyone else was doing it? Like that you sort of found yourself in that situation?
I found myself in that situation. I mean, definitely it happens. Like you walk in as a group in a work situation where you actually have stalls. Like, and I heard the caller who's on before me talking about how like men don't talk to each other at all. And I'm like, I've had really deep, meaningful conversations while one of us was utilizing the bathroom, the other one was like standing by the sink.
That doesn't work. But anyway, yeah, okay, but beyond the stall, because this is a men thing. I don't know. We don't even want to make eye contact with each other when one of us is in a stall. Okay.
Yeah. Fine. Pardon the pun, but that's asinine. Like, I mean,
Wait.
I mean, like, let's all grow up.
But
everybody poops.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, wait. I would never do that in front of anybody, though.
Right.
No. And there's a section of the city.
There's aggressive.
Dedicated to that, starring Jim Gaffigan. I don't know if we'd say starring, but he was in it. But no. But it's something that's just. And I will tell you this, women, this is a thing. This is like a rite of passage as a bridesmaid. You go
That's
to the
true.
Bathroom with the bride to help that.
You have to hold the toilet. But, you have to hold up the bustle and the
okay,
layers.
But that's thing. One thing.
Maybe she's got a point. Maybe that's why like girls are taught to be able to be in the bathroom together and be okay when someone else makes in front of them.
To get ready
Plus,
for the
we're also
wedding.
Potty training kids more than dads are typically.
Okay, so hypothetically speaking, y'all mm-hmm. get into the bathroom together, and then one mm-hmm. of y'all's like, okay, you thought you were just going to do one thing, but it turns out you have to do the other. Do you do it all in front of each other, or does everyone else evacuate at
that occasion
point?
Has never occurred in my experience.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever a thing. Yeah.
Hannah is on for Frank Montana. That is a thing, and we'll look forward to hearing your show, and I'll need more advice for you. I'm going to be redoing my entire home, I think. I have a very small apartment.
I'm super excited. I want to come over.
Okay. I got a lot of cleaning to do. Elliot's like, why you make me come over? But still. Hannah.
I'm not a judger.
I don't judge.
Okay. So really, really fast. We didn't talk about Ryan Lochte. That's, one of my greatest, I allow myself in our budget that I get a cleaning lady here to come and like do deep cleaning, every couple of weeks. Does she
do homes in Chicago?
I would think so. She's amazing.
Continue. I'm sorry.
So she was here today, and my allergies were so bad that, like, I tidied and I did dishes and stuff while she was upstairs. And then when she came downstairs, the kids and I went upstairs and I took a nap, and it was the greatest moment of my life.
That sounds heavenly.
It's tremendous. That's... I walked downstairs and it was like a brand new home, and I'm like, I love this.
That's fantastic. I want to try that. All right, thank you, Hannah. Follow her on Instagram at @ThatHannahStanley and on Facebook. And listen to her on Sunday, filling in for Frank, and on our show every week. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, Patty. Talk to you later. Bye, Elliot.
Bye.
Bye.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It is Friday night, and I love my Friday nights. I'm going to start sending some texts to people that are regulars on the show and say, hey, you know, there's an open door. And we have a list of people like Elliot Serrano is here every Friday night. We should have a list of people like, hey, if you happen to be downtown, just come by. I'm not going to tell you who's on that list. You and I will have a secret list of people. And say, like a Todd Belcour. I think he's a dude. If he's downtown, he should come by. Put the bat signal out for him. And guys like Tim from Poor Soul.
Poor Souls.
Hold on a second. You can use that one. Which one do you want? What's easier for you? You want that one? All right, there you go. That's yours. What do you... this is very elegant. Why is that a copper... I've never seen a copper... Is it a stirrer?
It's a bar spoon. It's just what I grabbed.
I prefer stirrer.
But they do match. So.
They do match, yes. Does copper have any effect on the quality of the cocktail you're making?
No, not at all.
I was kind of hoping that it would. Where did copper mugs, why did that become a thing for mules in the last 2 years?
No, that was a marketing thing, like back when people were trying to make vodka awesome. Like
vodka's awesome on its own.
We didn't have it here. It wasn't something that people made in the States. So I'm going to get crucified for messing this up.
No, there's no crucifixion.
Factually.
No, not for Tim.
But basically it was a marketing tool
mm-hmm.
In the same way that like Ocean Spray started sort of marketing vodka as like using cranberry juice, like bottled cranberry juice
uh-huh.
in like a vodka cranberry came from Ocean Spray. It didn't come from a vodka company, which is kind of weird. But
I did not know that.
But so mules were purely marketing. And so they were like, let's come up with this awesome glass for it. So it's distinctive and whatever.
I like the copper mugs. They're just kind of fun with a drink with a handle on it.
They're beautiful.
Yes.
They're
practical.
They're
not breakable.
There's something really like refreshing about them, which mm-hmm. I totally like. It's like a guilty for sure. Like,
yeah.
I love them.
Well, because it also, the coldness of it. It seems, doesn't it preserve it a little bit more in a metal than glass, glassware?
I'm not going to pretend to know a ton about the
we don't need any of our physicists to give us a call at 312.
Yeah, open door for physicists every time I come on.
You know what? We had a physicist on last night.
Really?
We did. Michael Silver is a physicist student, graduate student at Northwestern.
Why not do this then?
I know. I should. Awesome. I know.
I'll
feel like I'm a night off.
I'll do two nights in a row. It's cool. It's
all
fine.
All right. Next time Michael is here.
But we're not. We're not doing copper mug. We do have copper bar tools, but literally it was like I grabbed what I saw first.
Mm-hmm.
We just set up the new bar in my place. And I was like, oh, these, you know, I haven't had a chance to work with these.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do some old fashions tonight just because I feel like every time that I've been here, we've done like signature cocktails from a menu that like require context and like you guys have to care about them and like understand the story. And like this is, that's fine. But, like, these are just old fashions because they're delicious and, like, they're super approachable.
Well, and I was reading a little bit about old fashions and the sort of invention of cocktails in the United States. And there was a bartender, I think, in New York who kind of was the godfather of putting these things together and using what was it, were American elements. Is that right?
So the old fashioned is... I'm like 3 for 3 on not really knowing.
That's okay.
100%
I know.
About
and I also am like referring vaguely to something that I'm not entirely sure of. So none of it, it all
I've
works for a Friday
over the
night.
Last couple of years to just like not totally go with something if I'm not sure of it. To just like the I'm not sure is a pretty.
I wish I'd known that in high school and college. I wish I hadn't gone along with a lot of things, including a history major. I'm kidding. It turned out fine.
So. The old fashioned is what I think is dope is the old fashioned is a style of cocktail that's basically it's like down to its structural components is just spirit, sugar, bitters, and some water, like just like dilution. And so you can have, you know, yes, a traditional old fashioned. If you go to the bar and you order one and you just say, I would like an old fashioned.
Okay.
I would say like 10 times out of 10, you're going to get a whiskey old fashioned, whether it be bourbon, rye, excuse me. But like. There's so many variations, like an aged tequila old-fashioned. An añejo tequila old-fashioned is delicious.
Really?
Or like a navy-strength rum.
But you would want an aged añejo tequila, not like a Cuervo regular,
I don't think
or
like
a rail.
Silver, I don't think a silver tequila would necessarily, because, I mean, the point
it has
of,
a burn to it that isn't quite the same that you would want.
Because it hasn't been aged, so it hasn't been, like, when you put a raw, unaged spirit into a whiskey barrel, you're imparting the flavors of the barrel into whatever the liquid is. So that's why, like, when something goes into a barrel clear, obviously it comes out a little bit darker.
Right.
Because it's taken, you know, it's extracted things from the wood. It's extracted a flavor flavor profile. So, you know, generally speaking, vanilla, caramel, sort of woodiness, oakiness, depending on what it was aged in. And so yeah, like, anything that's got that characteristic is going to go really well with, like, just a complex in flavor, but like simple in construction, of just bitters and sugar, and then a little bit of like citrus oil to kind of make it not so just like basically doing a shot, right?
Right.
Like you have to, like with a margarita, you bring the citrus together with the acid, and
right?
You shake those, and that's how you balance it. In an old fashioned, you're
actually
balancing.
That's someplace I want to ask you about the difference. You know, when we think of even the James Bond, shaken not stirred.
Sure.
There are different things that are affected by the fact that you shake something or stir something.
Sure.
The way that whether it's the ice or the different components of the drink. Because I remember the first time I had a martini, I was like, well, this is just a shot in a big He's got ice cubes. It's a good sound effect for a Friday night.
Sorry, I didn't know how loud that was going to be.
No, it was delightful.
I keep staring and smelling at this. And smelling this thing.
Right, because you started a project, and I keep talking to you. There you go.
No, it's fine. Look, no, I'm staring.
You get in stir with your your stirrer.
But,
bar spoon. He calls it a bar spoon.
A bar spoon?
Mm. Well, it's actually... Yeah, okay, that's fine. Stirrer is fine, too. Stirrer works. It's just like there are cocktails that call for like bar spoon is actually a measurement. A bar spoon of something.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Sometimes. Depending.
Okay, now anyway. You've gone into territory of where, like, it is or it isn't, sir.
That I actually get because I've done a few menus in my life. And bar spoon is like, I order particular bar spoons because I know how much they hold. And I know that if I tell the bartenders to do a bar spoon of something, then I know what they're going to put in there. But so I don't know if this is actually a question, but it was definitely something that I want to address.
Yes, please.
How, like, when you shake versus when you stir.
Yes.
This is totally something, by the way, that we talk. So, Poor Souls, we do cocktail classes.
Mm-hmm.
for the masses, for anybody who's ever cared about like how to put together a cocktail at home or whatever. And so that's my favorite part, is like figuring out with people, okay, like how do you balance? Like what is balance? Equal parts sugar and acid, or equal parts, you know, you have a certain amount of sugar, you have to balance that with spirit, and you have to balance that with bitters. But the way you figure out if you're going to shake or stir something, or if you have to do either one, is if there's a citrus component and a sugar component.
Okay.
So like a whiskey sour, a margarita, anything like that where you're combining citrus and acid, you're going to shake it. And you're going to shake it like there's no tomorrow.
Okay.
Because you want to dilute it. You want to add, you want to aerate the sort of like the mixture that's in there. Hold on one second.
Yes. Oh, he's going to pause to high five Rob Marchier. I like that. Boosh.
So you're going to, okay. So you want to shake that because you want to bring it together sort of aggressively, and like you want to add some water and you want to make it lighter on the tongue. Something like this, where you're balancing the sweetness of the drink with the bitterness from the ton of bitters that I put in there. You're balancing, sorry, I completely just lost where I was at.
It's okay. Because I started because you're working here. Right? You were focusing.
So we're diluting.
You saw Rob Martini, you're like, it's time to pour these glasses.
we're bringing everything together a little bit more subtly and with a little bit more, tact, a little bit less sort of brutishly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you're getting the sort of like silky, you know, there's more body. There's a lot more complexity going on here. If you shook this, what would happen is you'd add so much water that you would completely get rid of the sweetness, which is paramount in balancing the bitters.
Okay.
And also that way you're not just getting like a watery glass of alcohol. So
yes,
here are your old fashions now that I've gone on a diet.
We'll take a break and we'll sample some of your old fashions. More after this on 720 WGN. Everybody, cheers, whatever it is you imbibe in. And it doesn't have to. And by the way, it's not like it has to be alcoholic. Anything that just to, you know, gets your juices going, something that's refreshing. It could just be some sparkling water. What was that, Tim?
You just a lot of words there that were weird.
<It's awful. laughs> Well, I'm just saying, maybe some people don't like alcoholic drinks and
you
they enjoy
get your juices going.
Get your juices going.
No one's juices
get maybe
going.
Maybe cranberry juice.
Water.
No, maybe cranberry juice. That makes you can make somebody happy. Right. You don't know.
Well, maybe I should just put these away then.
No, hey, we're trying to cover a lot of territory. That's all. More after this on 720 WGN.
Kathy, do you think you've ever worn something that embarrassed one of your children?
Oh, I'm sure I have.
Let's talk about embarrassing somebody close to you by your outfit.
Perfect.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We're getting ready to play What's in the Box coming up after 12:30. And we have with us Tim from Poor Souls. Tell us a little bit about Poor Souls while you're making your own, while you're pouring your own soul.
We are just more than 4 years old. Mm-hmm. We're a 4 year old, very small group of bartenders in Chicago that, we love to teach people how to make cocktails. That's pretty much it. It's a lot of bartenders that have some extra time or run, you know, they run programs for 6 days a week or 5 days a week. And for mm-hmm. a couple of days, you want to just do your own thing. So we teach classes. We teach, civilians, as I like to call people that don't do the nonsense that we do to ourselves on a daily basis. We teach you how to make cocktails, and we try to justify or give you cause for calling out, you know, BS on that $12 cocktail that you're about to pay for, and knowing what it's is it really worth it? Is it good?
I know. I was at a there was a pub in Philly, Rob, that you and I could hang out. It was all like the whiskey menu. There were four pages of whiskeys. Mm-hmm. But I was looking at some of it, like Larceny and some of like Buffalo Trace were on there. Uh-huh. And I know how much a bottle of those cost. And I was looking at how much like a neat cost. And I thought, for two of these, I've got a bottle.
Right. Sure. Right. Well, it's less about an indictment of costing. Like that. Right. That was actually a conversation that happened on Facebook with some friends of mine, where someone sort of was calling someone out for, you know, thinking that their drinks were too expensive. Well, this person, you know, runs a bar program in River North, and you don't know rent and how all that stuff sort of
factors in. Why I stayed and drank, because I loved the bar.
Right. And that's I did. As long as you love the bar, and as long as what you're getting is not a fake.
Yes.
As long as it's a substantial and fundamentally sound cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've signed up to pay what you're going to pay for it.
So this Poor Souls thing, though, I'm interested. Is can we do like Tupperware type parties with you guys,
basically,
and where you come into the home?
Yeah.
See, now that would be cool because I can get a bunch of my dude friends together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Elliot, Roger, Craig.
Get your cigars out.
Get the cigars out.
And your cigars.
Have one of the poor souls come over.
Yes.
And now, do you spell? How do you spell poor?
P-O-U-R.
That's what I thought. Excellent.
Souls.
Excellent.
And this is... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say...
I was just going to say, but I'm totally up for that. But, dude...
Yeah.
We're not all going to the bathroom together.
No.
Okay?
No, but I do have spare rooms. I do have spare rooms in the house. So I've got plenty of couch space.
There we go. I'm just...
Nobody has to drive home.
This has become an issue, apparently. So
I think we need to do that, Patty.
I think it's a great idea.
We need to get the dudes together.
Whose birthday is next? Let's see. Rob, when's your birthday?
February.
Elliot, yours is past as well.
We passed mine.
Craig's birthday is Halloween, so it's October. Okay. Roger, when's your birthday?
Yeah. June passed.
Oh.
Yeah. So Craig's
sad he is. Tim, when's your birthday? Can we make you work on your
birthday? But I'm not counting anymore, so you could have mine anytime you want.
Passed. It's in December. My birthday's in December.
Done. December.
Now to the poor soul. Do you guys have a website?
So we are actually retooling that right now. Okay. The email is poorsoulschicago@gmail.com. It's fun. Like, we actually just partnered with the Chopping Block in Merchandise Mart.
Nice.
They do cooking classes.
Yeah.
And it was funny because when I was 25 and I started this, we always used to say, like, the Red Eye, Timeout, like, whoever else we had. Steve Dolinsky did an interview. And every time I found myself, like, freaking out and going back to, like, the quickest elevator pitch that I could come up with, which was, it's like the Chopping Block, but for cocktails. And it was funny because about three months ago, I had the good fortune of running into the event manager from the Chopping Block and then meeting the owner. And now we're actually affiliated with them, which is cool. I feel like much less of a fraud.
Well, you've got the Hungry Hound. You got the Chopping Block. I mean, you know, sky's the limit.
So we partnered with them. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with our outside stuff, but we're going to be offering three or four classes a month with them. A really cool, like, a guide for your home bar. We're gonna put one of those up on their website in the next couple of weeks. You know, like, five essential bottles, what ingredients you need, bar tools, et cetera, et cetera.
What a great idea.
Can you tell me the five ingredients?
Bottles?
Five bottles you should have, yes.
You know, I'm still kind of debating.
So are those bottles the actual booze, or is it the brand?
Like,
so
I don't think you need...
wouldn't you say vodka, whiskey, gin, tequila, and then what's the...
I think a rum.
Rum. That's.
I think that other things... I think that scotch is
poor scotch.
Is great, but I think you have scotch people, and then you have people that will never touch a bottle of scotch, and so I would hesitate to put that in your five...
Yeah.
And those people will be exiled when my administration takes office.
All right, well, what of those five would you kick out?
Of what?
Of the ones...
Of the five that she listed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You gotta have rum. He's right about that.
See, but rum and tequila sometimes seem redundant to me, depending.
I think there are some people that would throw their headphones off and, like, not understand what you... But I totally get... I get it. Like, there's a vibe that goes with those two that doesn't necessarily transfer to, say, American whiskey or even vodka at times kind of gets turned into whatever you want it to be. But I definitely think that tequila and rum have a place, and I definitely think that you'll see those more prominently featured, in the 13 days of summer of Chicago. Like, for your summer menu or whatever, you're going to try. Or if you're trying to convince somebody that you have a particular, like, a tiki program or something like that, something that's supposed to hearken to warm weather and other climates, you'll use those two. But I see where you're coming from. But I do think that they have distinctly different purposes. Like, in so much as, like, I would never shoot rum. I have.
Push comes to shove.
He'll shoot, like, rum. If I'm at Broken Shaker.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Before Havana Club really technically made its way back to the States, you know, they had some legitimate Havana Club. And
okay,
shots,
I think this opens up a whole new thing, and I don't know how much time we have, because when it comes to shots, I'm trying to think of what I would shoot anymore at all.
Really?
No, I mean, like, no, I'm saying, like, I actually like to sip Jaeger, as a matter of fact. If it's chilled, I like to...
Pretty ironic.
Why?
So I live... So Jaeger was one of those things that made its way into the Chicago cocktail market by way of a buddy of mine. And he dedicated his life to getting Jaeger regarded as like a cocktail appropriate ingredient.
I used to chill it, and I haven't had it in a while, but I would have it in my freezer, and if I wanted something to relax, I would sip some Jaeger. I used to shoot it when I was in college.
Right. But that style is, I mean, that's what it's for. That's sort of like herbaceous, dark,
right,
maybe a little bit sweeter, but also has the appropriate like properties of, not a vermouth, but like as a modifier, definitely. Mm-hmm. Or as something that you would sip. Like one of my favorite things right now is Cokie Americano.
Mm-hmm.
There's Cokie di Torino. There's, I think it's just those two. But just that, it's a really nice sort of like light modifier with some grapefruit soda water.
Nice.
Really great. Really light, clean, a little bit of acid, maybe like a squeeze of lemon. But yeah, I mean, I think that your five bottle bar, to get back to what I think this whole, the five bottle bar has to be those five base spirits. And the way that works in my head is, having been a bar manager, I think of what I put in the well fastest for my bartenders to grab, the five things that people are going to call either as a shot or with either soda or Coke or whatever. Yes, of course, that's like a, you know, everybody who's a mixologist or whatever will sort of poo-poo that idea. But
no, that
know,
makes sense. Having worked a rail,
making money,
yeah.
You work a, right.
I worked a, yeah, no.
But vodka, gin, tequila, mm-hmm, rum. And whiskey. Scotch, oddly, I don't think sits in there.
And gin is an odd one, too, because, yes, for some martinis, but most people seem to like the vodka. That's coming. Gin has made a sort of a surge recently. Because
sure.
But I would still say vodka over gin. Maybe,
so because, I think that gin is misunderstood.
Oh, well, you know, let's understand when we come back, because Roger Badish has to do the news. I think we're going to do What's in the Box.
Listen to this guy talk.
Do you want to do What's in the Box, or do you want to come back and talk about booze some more? I'm going to take it around the horn. What do you think, Rob? More booze or What's in the Box?
Oh, can we combine the two?
We can.
Can it be like a fusion of...
We're going to do booze and box.
Abusion.
312-981.
I've had too much to drink already.
We're not putting booze in the box because that's dangerous, and they don't know how to treat that yet at the ERs. 312-981-7200, and we're going to play What's in the Box when we come back after the news. 312-981-7200. We have some great prizes tonight. In fact, Elliot, do you want to give away your prize, or do you want to do that after 1 a.m.?
Whatever works. I mean, you know, some people play such a great game. Sometimes I feel like rewarding them for that.
Okay, so we have a surprise ticket, surprise gift from Elliot Serrano. We have some Go Ape tickets, some zip lining out in the suburbs. Bemis Woods in, I believe it's, I want to say it's Palos Heights, but we'll get more information about that. We also have Apt Electronics, Lou Malnati's. We have a whole locker, Roger. I'm just throwing everything at What's in the Box tonight.
Really? Yes. I have three sheets of stuff here.
You have three sheets?
I went back in history, and I have three sheets of... ones that I have submitted, 3 weeks worth of stuff.
Okay, then let's play What's in the Box and three sheets of stuff.
Three sheets.
Booze in the box, three sheets of stuff, and let's go ziplining with Go Ape.
And the people in the houses all went to the university where they were put in boxes, and they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business executives, and they're all made
up. It's Friday night, and little boxes. That means it's time to play What's in the Box, 312-981-7200. We are looking for a challenger for Steve, who is calling from the 847. Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
Hey, Patty, how are you?
I'm very well. Have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
I have. I actually played last year one time.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, how did you do?
I believe I actually won.
Excellent. And enough time has passed for him to play again. Those of you keeping track and keeping score. Yes,
and
Rob
we
Martin.
Are.
And we are, as we do. 312.
Time has passed, he doesn't remember.
312-981-7200 to play What's in the Box. We have Lou Malnati's gift cards. We have Apt Electronics gift card. We have Go Ape zip lining. And we have a pair of tickets to what, Elliot?
To the Fathom premiere or return of Thelma and Louise.
I'm so excited about
returning
this.
To movie theaters after 25 years. It's the 25th anniversary of Thelma and Louise.
Was that Rob?
Yeah, it's Rob.
I'm sorry, what? Did you say Thelma and Louise?
Yes,
Thelma,
sorry. He did.
It's the female Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, you know.
Well, okay. That's another, we can talk about that later, and that's fine. But yeah, it's an amazing script. I've read the script, so having seen it, it's a hard movie to watch because there's a scene that's a little bit rough. Hey, there we have a challenger, Steve. Are you ready to meet Beverly? Is going to take on Steve. Hi, Beverly. How are you doing?
Yes, fine, thank you.
Excellent. Have you heard us play What's in the Box?
Yes, quite a while ago.
Oh, I'm so glad you've called to play then. We have some wonderful prizes, and reading for you tonight will be Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer, newsman Rob Martier, newsman Roger Badish, and Poor Souls entrepreneur and CEO. Are you the CEO, Tim? Would you say?
It's only me, so I'm whatever you want.
Yeah, the mastermind, the genius, the creator of Poor Souls.
The dude.
Those of our listeners who have never heard us play What's in the Box, maybe you're driving across the country and you've stumbled across our show, thank you for joining us. Every week, we read reviews from online shopping services, and our listeners, our contestants, have to guess if that review is for an appliance or an adult toy, because those reviews often sound a little similar, and that's why this game amuses us. So, here we go. Reading first for Steve is Roger Badish.
All right, Steve. Again, the rules of the game are real easy. Is it an adult toy, just say toy, or an appliance? Here we go. The gentlemen knew what they were doing and took great care putting it in.
What was that last part again?
I'm sorry. Let me say that again here.
Yes.
The gentlemen knew what they were doing and took great care putting it in.
Putting it in, okay.
What do you think, Steve?
I would hope it's a toy, but I'm going to say appliance.
I would hope it's a toy. I like that he hopes it's a group effort somehow. Yes.
Very good. It's an appliance.
Oh. We have.
Wait,
our first
are you search. Disappointed? I mean, I don't know.
She might have been.
Well, okay. Being a toy, you would hope they'd use care.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just like.
You want care for everything. Yeah. Everything should be cared for. Elliot, please read for Beverly.
All right, Beverly. This one's pretty straightforward. It's very noisy. I've only used it once, but I'm getting rid of it.
What do you think, Beverly?
I think, could you say it again, please?
Yes, absolutely.
It's very noisy. I've only used it once, but I'm getting rid of it.
I think a toy.
It's an appliance, apparently.
Oh.
Sorry, that's an appliance.
Oh.
Good try, though.
Very good try. All right, here we go. Rob Martier, please read for Steve,
right,
who is ahead by one.
Here we go, buddy. I'd been looking for a machine like this. I'd been looking for a machine like this for quite a while, and there's nothing to complain about.
Let's go, toy.
Sorry, it's an appliance. It's an appliance.
There you go. That's all right. You get plenty of time. So many more reviews to read slowly and carefully. Tim, please read for Beverly.
Wow. Was that a toy or an appliance? All right, Beverly.
Hi.
Works great, but still trying to figure out the best position to use this to get the results that I'm looking for.
Oh.
A toy.
Yes.
And a girl.
Congratulations.
We have a synergy. I'd like to only, has this ever been requested to just read, like, can I just tie myself to her? Like, I just want to read.
You're only reading for Beverly.
It's nothing against Steve.
No, that's fine.
There's just like a thing with me and Beverly.
Only
and
if our contestants agree. Steve, do you agree that it's okay that Tim only reads for Beverly?
I will definitely allow that.
I appreciate that,
fine.
Sir. Thank you.
I don't want to get in the way of your chemistry.
Steve, you're a gentleman and a scholar.
But we have to ask Beverly. Maybe she wants to hear someone else read for her. Beverly, would you like Steve to read Tim to only read for you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm used to that response.
Cheering.
It's okay.
Is this a what's in a box first? We need to mark this date down.
Yes, we do. Definitely. It is August 20th, technically.
Correct.
So, yes, this is the date in which one of our readers has requested a contestant specifically. And someday, perhaps a contestant will request a reader. But for now, we will live here. Roger,
wait a minute. I'm just confused.
Wow.
Okay. Contestant. Okay, I think I got it. All right.
You got it? We will read for everyone and anyone because that's how you roll.
Why, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Please read for Steve, Roger.
All right, Steve.
Mm-hmm. It's tight.
All right, Roger.
I can confidently tell you without hesitation that this is the only, that's the way it was written, one on the market worth getting for those in a morning rush.
Wow. I need one of those.
Wow. It's got to be a Keurig.
Oh, boy.
It's a bagel cutter.
triangular thing. Of the, yeah.
I could just hear the, hold the train.
I'm sorry, Steve. We've gone way off the page here. Oh, boy. What do you think?
Can you read it one more time?
No, yes. I certainly yes. can.
No, he's got it. He can read it, please.
I'm just kidding, Roger. I'm going to say appliance.
You are correct.
There we
wow.
go.
Wow. Great.
I know. There we go. All right. Well, even though Tim is only reading for Beverly, we still are going to go around the horn.
Sure.
Elliot, please read for Beverly.
All right, Beverly. Maybe you're not going to like me for this one because... okay, I'm going to read this to you as written. But to me, the only way this review is going to make sense is if I read it as Yoda.
So he's not right. changing it as Yoda.
No, I'm not changing it. I don't have to change anything. Yes. I'm going to read it as written, but I'm doing it in the voice of Yoda. So don't. It's not like I'm going to shuffle it. This is the way it's written, okay?
You go with your gut, Beverly.
Yes.
You ready?
Okay.
Good deal have since a few years and still working.
Okay, I'm going to need that one more time. Slowly, please. I don't know why I cleared my throat. Okay.
Good deal have since a few years and still working.
That's a tough one, Beverly.
And that is legit the way it's written. What I get from this is that it's a good deal.
It's still
and
working.
And it's still working.
Yes. Both key elements.
An appliance.
That is correct.
What?
Go, Beverly.
Well done. This is a tied game. All right. Steve, Beverly, can you hold on the line? We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue our game of What's in the Box. Sound good?
Yes. Yes.
No problem.
Wonderful. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, hanging out with our good friends of the show, Elliot Serrano, who is the chief geek officer of the show. Go to geektome.net for everything he writes. Follow him on Twitter at Elliot Serrano. Two L's, two T's, two R's. Are they yeah, there's all that stuff. That all happens. We also have Rob Martier, our newsman, who is. We'll do a little weekend wind-up if we have time tonight. I don't want to keep you too long, but Tim is here. I think Tim's keeping us with so much to wind up with tonight, with these amazing old fashions, and teaching us more about how to keep your bar stocked, how to entertain your friends, impress them even with poor souls. And we also have Roger Badish, who has delighted us so many times with his wonderful. You do a better job of pulling reviews now than I do. I have been lax in my duties, sir.
I haven't pulled any in a couple of months, actually. I've been going back over the old ones. They've been so good.
You may as well mine the material. I agree completely.
I pulled a few today.
Ella.
Was it before? Was it early? Was it just in time for that train?
Okay. Yeah.
We have in line with us competing in What's in the Box, where we read reviews, and our contestants, Steve and Beverly, are tasked with telling us if it's for an appliance or an adult toy. I lost track. Who was last? I believe Rob.
Beverly was last, so
Steve.
Next.
So Steve is reading. Rob Martier is reading for Steve. It's a tied game, 2-2. And here we go.
Here we go. First use was amazing, but the second time I attempted to use it, it shorted out completely. Pity.
Oh, that is a pity.
Pity.
What do you think, Steve?
Boy. I'm going to go appliance.
Steve, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I thought pity would give it away for you, but it's a toy, my friend. I'm sorry.
Why wouldn't it be a pity for an appliance to be shorting out?
Well, nobody says pity when their toaster craps out on them, now do they?
You might be right.
You say damn toaster.
Damn toaster. This pitiful thing. Tim, will you please read for Beverly?
Yes.
As requested by you.
As requested by
every
me.
Single time.
Mm-hmm. high quality. Mm-hmm. Excellent performance with many modes of operation. Battery life is really good. Of course, that depends on how long it is used at one time.
A toy.
Yes!
Hey girl, Beverly, way to go.
Beverly.
Well done.
Brings it. She's in the lead now, 3-2. Roger Badish, you are reading for Steve, who is trying to catch up.
All right, Steve. But the great news is, I can use the lower settings with people home.
Yeah. Roger going deep on his research.
I think I may have written that one.
I did not.
I said I might have.
Oh, you may have. We may have collaborated. All right, then.
Steve, what do you think?
I'm going to go toy.
And that's a good choice, too.
And he ties
boy,
it up.
Steve, well done.
That. It's crucial. You have no idea. All right, Elliot, please read for Beverly. It's now a tied game.
All right, Beverly.
This is a fabulous machine. I had the much smaller version before, but it does not compare to this behemoth. Nothing it can't do. Wow. And very well made.
Huh. Toy.
Appliance, sorry.
Oh, man. See, this goes to what Rob was saying. I don't know if you would say behemoth.
The behemoth.
In a situation like this. All right. Oh, I'm sorry, Bev. All right. I'm sorry, Steve. I don't mean to be sorry to Bev, but I'm sorry. Rob, please read for Steve.
All right, Steve.
Tied game three.
Here we go, bud. Best thing ever. Have one. Bought another as a gift. Everyone loves this thing. Don't waste your time with all the fancy settings, which never work anyway. Huh. Kind of a mixed bag review.
It is.
Kind of a mixed bag review. If you...
What do you think, Steve?
I'm going to go toy.
Attaboy. Well done. Toy. Ding, ding, ding.
Hey, Tim's trying to figure that one out. Okay, so here's what happened. Never mind. Tim, please read for Beverly. She has now got to catch up. It's
Wait,
four
what's
to
the
three.
Count? It's 4-3?
Yes. All right.
Who are we playing? Like best of 13?
Five. No, five.
Best of five?
Five.
Yeah. First of five.
First of five.
I don't know.
What's the difference between best of five and first of five?
Anybody five. Feel that?
Five games? You want me to do five like five different games? Okay, can we not?
All right, no. Semantics
Tim
aren't
came,
my thing.
Tim came all contentious tonight. Yes, that's all right. Do you need another review?
Barbecue chips.
Okay.
I feel like, yeah, I do.
You need a new one? All right, then. Hold on 1 second. Please stand by, Beverly.
No, actually, no. No, I got one. Right, I got one. You. I've only done two. I don't know how it's possible.
All right, then.
But Bev and I are 2-2. All right, Bev. Hone in on this one. Some may say they love it or like it, but coming from a very picky and choosy person, I'd rather just not use it. It's a waste of money.
Oh, that's a sad one. One more time.
Some may say they love it or like it, but coming from a very picky and choosy person, I'd rather just not use this. It's a waste of money.
What do you think, Beverly?
He cleared his throat at the exact same time in both times he read the review. Is that in the review?
No. There's a lot of other things in this review.
She says appliance.
No.
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 No. See what happens? Stop eating those chips. I'm turning your microphone off because you're eating on the air. Roger, please read for Steve. He is still ahead, 4-3. Because Tim is eating barbecue chips.
Oh, God. What?
I know.
And I don't have any up
worth
here.
I'm going to make it worth Beverly's while, I promise.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Here we go. They do seem like they could crack easy, but so far we've had no problems.
Interesting problem. Steve, what do you think?
I'm going to go appliance.
Very good. Can you read over my shoulder? Can you see in the camera? What's going on here?
I don't
Goodness
know.
Gracious.
I don't know. But
can you see through the paper?
Yes,
no?
I can. Oddly enough. Stop. I know. You shouldn't have written on both sides. That was weird of you. Steve has won tonight. We have so many prizes, though, Beverly. I promise you we will make sure that you... Beverly, hold on the line, and Craig's going to hook you up. Steve, you as well. How many sets of tickets do we have for
two tickets?
Two tickets. You have two sets of tickets? Or
to
no?
Paradise?
Just two.
Paradise. All right.
Yes.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Find out if Steve wants the zipline tickets, and if he does, award those to him. Find out if he wants them, and whatever. And then also we have an Apple Electronics gift cards. Get me their information. We're going to send them stuff, and we'll figure it out with Sarah and with Elliot and make sure that they get what they want, because we have a pair of Go Ape Treetop Adventure with suspended obstacles, Tarzan swings, and breathtaking zip lines at Bemis Woods in the Cook County Forest Preserve near Western Springs. You can book your outdoor experience and get details online at goape.com. One pair of tickets is valued at $126. I have to tell you, Elliot, we have to go do this zip lining. It's so much fun.
I'm all for it.
Let's go do that. And also, we have an apt gift card. They've been pleasing people since 1936. So appropriate for this segment, by the way. No, because of appliances. They have a lot of appliances. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. We also have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus locations in the Chicagoland area or order online at loumalnati's.com. And who's sponsoring, who's involved in the Thelma & Louise movie?
And Fathom Events is bringing Thelma & Louise back to the theater. So that will be on this coming Wednesday, August 24th. They've got a pair of tickets to see Thelma & Louise at a Fathom Events theater near you.
And Rob Martier is busy eating some barbecue chips, so we're not going to ask him why he rolled his eyes at Thelma & Louise.
I love Susan Sarandon.
You know what? So this is something to watch for in the movie, because it's a very there early on. There's a very hard scene for me to watch in the parking lot. But right before that, when they're still having a good time, you know, they're bitching about their relationships or whatever's going on. And they're having margaritas at this bar. And this is where I learned that I have a little OCD. When they come and they shoot over one of the, I think it's over Susan Sarandon's shoulder, her margarita is more full, and they come back around in front of her and it's almost empty, and they come back around and it's almost full, and I'm like, that is the most magical margarita I've ever seen in my entire life.
I like one of those. Yeah. It just refills itself.
That's when I realized that stuff matters.
Continuity errors. That there's someone who is hired to actually make sure that doesn't happen, and they drop the ball.
I should have probably been, I should have, what was that, Tim?
It's a job for poor. You really muted my microphone.
I did. Because
I was
you were
eating,
eating
barbecue chips.
That's, you know, fair. I don't like the sound of eating.
I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. I'm still new to this. I've only done this
three
and a half times.
It's not a matter on the microphone. I actually, the sound of eating makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, that's right. But it sounds like a job for poor souls. If you're shooting a movie and you want to know what the drink should look like, just call us. It'll be awesome.
Oh, that's right. What a good point.
Right?
You should be the drink continuity people in every movie. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Friday night. I know it's Saturday morning, but I'm still saying it's Friday night. Hanging out for the weekend wind-up with Elliot Serrano, who is our chief geek officer. Go to geektome.net for all the great things he writes about everything in pop culture that you know you're interested in. You know you are. Star Wars, superheroes, Indiana Jones. What else? All the sci-fi fantasy.
Sci-fi fantasy. I've got a post up right now about Andy Samberg's new movie, Pop Star.
There you go.
Which is kind of funny. And I'm actually giving away the digital downloads of the film.
Oh,
so, fun. You know, I'm always giving stuff away. If you come to my blog, you'll see I'm always giving stuff away.
Get free stuff from Elliot Serrano. I think that should be your calling card. Get free stuff from me.
Get free stuff.
We have Rob Martier in our studio. After he's done with his Friday night shift, we hang out. And the genesis for this was, you know, it's the weekend, and we actually started this before things got really crazy. We started talking about,
yeah,
because you and I might not agree on things, but we can talk in a civil way. But other people can't, whether it's religion or politics or, you know, sports and music. But we want to talk about the things that we don't want other people to get into fights over drinks.
We actually agree on a lot.
We do.
I mean, what we've found over the course of, you know, as long as we've been doing this, we agree on more than I thought we originally would. No, but it's true.
I agree.
As we discuss, it's like, it kind of makes sense.
I think as long as people listen, they might find that they agree mm-hmm. more than they think they do, too. I think that's part of it. And to help us listen is Tim from Poor Souls, who has made the best old-fashioned I've ever had. Here's the sad thing about that is every time I get an old-fashioned that's really good, I say it's the best one I've ever had. You know, I have a question. And Roger, I'm not leaving you out of this either. So
yeah,
Roger
I understand.
Up in the newsroom.
Because I have a question to ask you later, a little bit. But
okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
How I had a Sazerac earlier.
A what?
Sazerac.
Like earlier
it's
today.
It's easy for you
yes.
to say.
Over dinner. Right. Now that is, it seems to me a little similar to the old fashioned you've made tonight.
Sure.
And that's a New Orleans drink, yes?
Yes. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yes.
sorry.
It was from left field, so I'm not going to.
No, it wasn't. Sazerac is going to be the same sort of skeleton of an old fashioned. We talked about spirit, bitters, sugar, and then water by way of you know, stirring and dilution and whatever.
Right.
But the flavor profile is going to be adjusted with the kind of bitters that you're using. You're going to be using Creole or Peychaud's, or there's any number of. Well, Peychaud's is the original, but a lot of companies have made bitters that are very similar. They're bright, sort of pink red, and they have a very distinct anise flavor.
Yes, that was what I was thinking about, the licorice
flavor.
And
then there's also a rinse on the glass with a little bit of absinthe.
Okay.
Generally the same citrus, same amount of sugar, like the same sort of build, like 2 ounces-ish of a really high-proof American bourbon or rye. Anywhere from like a quarter ounce to a half ounce of simple syrup.
That sounds complicated to make. We were talking earlier about stocking your own bar.
Sure.
And there's an elegance to this cocktail, the one that you've made and the Sazerac that I got from the Gale Street Inn, that I would imagine is hard to get that sort of balance of those flavors. Because if you say like bitters can ruin something with more than the drop necessary.
So... Okay, so that's interesting because yes, bitters can be bitters in our world, bitters are, in my opinion, one of the best things ever. I can take a very, very simple cocktail, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a lot of bars and restaurants do this dealer's choice thing, where you're not sure what you want, it's not on the menu, but you can sort of like trust the bartender to make something based on a few basic criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from modifiers, like bitters are one of those best like flavoring things that you have at your disposal. They're one of the best tools you have at your disposal as a bartender. The problem with bitters is that if they don't get used appropriately, and if you don't have, it's less about the bitters and it's more about the other things.
Right.
So,
interesting. The quality of the other things or the volume?
The quality and the volume. I go a little bit heavier than a lot of people on my simple syrup in an old fashioned, but I also put like 9 to 11 dashes of bitters in my cocktail.
Really?
But I go like a heavy, I call it like a third of an ounce. It's like a heavy quarter. It's not quite a half. Like it's a weird variation. It's not a weird variation, actually. It's a very standard variation. But the notion is that like if I just go all bitters and no sweetness, like we talked about balance earlier.
Right.
If I go all bitters with no sweet, then you're just going to get booze and bitter and water.
Yeah.
Right? And the one thing that binds it all together is the body and the heft of sugar. In the same way that, you know, a lot of people don't like their margaritas too sour or too sweet.
Ugh.
But if you just go 3/4 of an ounce of both or 1 ounce of both, then you're good. Right? So it comes down to really understanding the tools you have. And not just sort of going like, I think this is maybe possibly right, whatever. So,
well, and it takes time too to develop that, knowing the difference.
It does.
And the thing about margaritas that I, my husband and I, before we got married, when we first started dating, like that was how I would evaluate a Mexican restaurant. And there's two things, margaritas and flan.
Sure.
That just
makes sense.
But with a margarita, anytime they pour the sour mix out of a bottle, I can't.
No.
I ask if they have fresh.
You should immediately go, I don't want that.
Yeah, I can't. It's so sugary.
Unless they've gone out of their way to make their own fresh lime sour, which is equal parts, I mean, at its bare bones is equal parts simple syrup and lime juice. You know, if you want to get fancy and you go, you split the sweet component between a dry curacao or triple sec and simple syrup and lime. Right now you make your own house sour. That's fine. But if you're just taking something that's, walking into a new bar and going, hey, make a margarita. And it's like roses, lime, and orange juice, and triple sec, and sour mix off. It's like,
triple sec.
It does still happen, but like people in this environment, this small world, they're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not at... It's not at a small cost. Like there are people that are years older than me that are exponentially more experienced, and that have like they're the reasons that people care.
Right.
Like people are moving to Chicago to take on this profession because of people that I was like paying attention to 5 and 6 years ago.
Right.
You know, head bartenders and bar managers and whoever that were like,
and And that brings up another point. The idea that bartender is no longer like this noble title for someone who puts together cocktails. But the idea is that you are tending bar. Mm-hmm. And so they, when they say mixologist or something else, it's like, well, if you do it right, you're an excellent bartender. Don't you think?
Yeah, you're just a good bartender.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and it's funny because for now, for the third time in the last minute and a half, I'm going to say, like in our world, no one goes, I'm a mix. If you tend bar 4 or 5 or 3 or 7 days a week, no one goes, don't call me a bartender. I'm a mixologist. Because you're like to get open hand slapped in the face. Like, that's ridiculous. First of all, this is Chicago.
Can you say it so I can slap you? Would that be okay?
I'm kidding. No, I don't. No, you're way too far away.
And I'm not. I can't slap. I don't really.
I don't believe that at all.
I got more of a left hook.
All right. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
But this is Chicago. This is not the land of like titles and BS.
This is
like
old
nonsense.
Style and Jameson. Yeah.
That's cute for like a year. And I remember the year that mixologist was cute. Like, that's a very specific thing.
Yes.
Right? Executive chef. Ooh. If you're an executive chef for like a corporate restaurant group, what that means is you don't set foot on the line, but you have a very good idea of pricing, mm-hmm. products, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know
it's
the numbers.
Bureaucratic.
And you've worked your way through that, mm-hmm. right? The only time I ever apply that term mixologist is if you are the guy that's like, you're overseeing 3 places, you know all the deals, you know all the recipes, you are the guy whose philosophy the whole bar group's identity has come from. You're a mixologist, and that's respectable. If I give you a $10 tip on 50, you're not a mixologist, you're a bartender. And you might be a good one, you might be a bad one, but like,
right.
You're a bartender, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Tim's very passionate about
it. I love going back, like,
You are. You're very passionate about it.
I am.
That's good.
I absolutely am. And I think a lot more people, like, I learned this from people that came before me. Like, we didn't do titles and we didn't do, you know, beverage. If you get a title, it means something. Mm-hmm. A lot of times this industry is just like people sort of cast aside like what we do and even within people, like, they take it for granted.
I know.
If you haven't sat behind a bar for like 9 years and like thought about quitting and like realize that like maybe your health is like at risk, like your knees hurt, your elbows hurt,
well,
your wrists hurt, you drink too much.
Just like, your psyche of dealing with whether it's the staff or the clientele.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. It's an onslaught.
There is a culture in this industry. The culture of this industry is changing rapidly and for the better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Chicago, because it's Chicago, will never lose sight of the fact that like, Our thing,
yes,
is prove it.
Prove it.
Prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You're dope? Prove it.
I like that. Keep showing up.
Keep showing up. Be here 7 days a week for years on end. Let's do it.
Well, let's do more of this after we come back. Let's do our weekend wind up. Rob, one more segment?
I'm in.
All right, he's in. Elliot, I know you missed the crisis corner, but this is kind of...
I know. No, all I know is Tim kept saying mixologist, and I kept thinking DJ.
Keep thinking DJ whatever
you mixologist.
Want. We'll be back. 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer, Roger Badish up in the newsroom, Rob Martier in the Showcase studio. He's done for the night, but he's hanging out for the weekend wind-up. And Tim from Poor Souls. I'm not even using your last name, and I apologize for that, sir. What is your last name?
Poor Souls.
Okay. Tim Poor Souls.
Williams.
Tim Poor Souls Williams has been, you know, in giving us his insight about being a bartender and titles like mixologist and the trends in Chicago, what it means to be a bartender in Chicago and to put together a cocktail that people enjoy. And Sean is very familiar with this. He wanted to join the conversation as well. Hey, Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Let me hear you one more time because I'm having trouble hearing you.
No, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
Hello. What do you want to tell us?
Well, I wanted to comment on what your guest was saying, and I thought that I totally agree with it 100%, was if you bartend, you know, you're behind a bar 4 or 5 nights a week, that the term mixologist is like, oh, yeah, that's great for a little bit, but it's ridiculous. In my opinion, I consider myself a bartender. I'm just a bartender. And in fact, I prefer the term drink slinger. and a very educated bartender when I first started, I've been doing this for about 14 years, told me, okay, bartending is 50% janitorial, which means keep your bar clean, sure. and 50% PR, and everything else is just a joke, you know. And you'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. And I've discovered that that's the case. You know, you got to keep your guests happy. You got to be able to talk, and you got to be able to do your thing and learn how to make it and craft a good cocktail. And I love hearing these recipes on the radio, and it's great. But in the end, you got to have speed and service and be able to talk to people and keep people coming in. And so I agree. Mixologist is that's for people who really craft major cocktails, but your average bartender really is just somebody who's really good at their job and the everyday things.
Hey, Sean, how did you get started as a bartender?
I needed a part-time job out of school, and I worked for good old TGI Fridays a long time ago, and that's where I started. I started serving there. I got promoted to bartender and did their thing, and then I bounced around. One time I moved, and I wound up working for a corporate place, and my name tag said mixologist, and it had my name on it. A, I didn't like the name tags, but B, I didn't like the fact that it said mixologist on it. I thought
right.
it was stuffed, and I accidentally lost it. Like,
sure.
four times.
How did that happen? Sure.
Yeah, whoops. It was just gone. So.
Well, thank you so much for letting us know what you thought, Sean. Appreciate it, and we'll look forward to having you sling some drinks for us as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
Have a good night. Thanks. I don't want to lose a moment with you, Rob, because I don't know if you're able to stay more. I know you have a long day, long weekend. And we don't do stories about Donald Trump and Hillary most of the week. I save everything up for Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Right.
But I realize you and I, that would not allow us to have a conversation
well,
about what's been
an
going
on. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that we actually, it's Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. So just not Monday and Tuesday, and we contain
right.
it. It's contained. So today's news is that his campaign manager is an agent for the Ukrainian government. Is that
high-level lobbyist, if you will, however you'd like to spin it, Paul Manafort? Yeah, it's mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
You know, it's one of these deals where
you got to report that stuff.
They're right, exactly. There's
you can
a little
do it. Go ahead.
There's,
and
there's
do
a
that.
Little federal law that dictates you have to disclose it. Now, what he was doing isn't illegal,
right?
The fact that he didn't report it is.
Yes.
And that's a big no-no.
Well, it depends on what is.
Bingo.
It's all in the language.
So, but you know what? I think the writing was on the wall because Trump last week made the decision to basically usurp Manafort with two other people. He saw that it was coming up. I think they probably knew even ahead of mm-hmm. time that this was coming down the road. So,
but the people he replaced, that he put into place, are basically media.
Well, you've got a guy from Breitbart News,
yes.
The ultra conservative website, and another woman who's a conservative mouthpiece, if you will. She's been all over CNN recently. She has been a little critical of Trump at times, but. You know, now she's on the payroll.
Hey, you're getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, you
Why
do
not?
You do a few more, you know, Pilates classes, and you can fit in those dresses.
Exactly.
Really. No, seriously, what is it about the women who are on Fox News or are the talking heads? I mean, between her and Ann Coulter and some of the other ones, like, I want to know what that regime is like, a regimen, I guess, regime. But they're very lean through the arm area. They always wear these dresses that just make them look cut. Is that part of the Fox sort of protocol of, I don't know.
I hear Roger Ailes wouldn't let any of them eat.
Oh, that makes sense.
CNN, well, you know what? It's funny because rightfully
food.
So. I mean, yeah. we can criticize them for that. You know, if it's a lookbook, if you will, that they have over at Fox News,
right?
But CNN has certainly followed suit.
Oh yeah, definitely. You look
and,
at the CNN ones, yeah.
What's her name? I'm so sorry, I can't remember her name. She's prime time. She's good at what she does, but very, very attractive woman on CNN. You know, she's cut from the same cloth as well.
Well, you know what they need to do right now, CNN and Fox, okay? All the women look intelligent and attractive, fine. They need to start doing this with the guys. They got some really ugly guys yeah. reading the news on – and, I mean, the guys in sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is it that all the women who do sports have to look great? And then the guys that are on there have their double chins hanging over their ties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, we need news.
Step
you
up, guys.
Step up. Got to get some attractive men in there.
You know, it's funny. But some of my favorite female
sportscasters are the ones that have been around the longest. Michelle Tafoya.
Yes.
And Peggy.
Linda Cohn.
Oh, sorry.
Chris McKendry. These are women that have gone well beyond, quote-unquote, their years, if you will. They still look good.
What are their years? What are the years involved? Which ones are those?
Like 29-ish.
Oh, what's in the industry considered to
right.
be a
no, yeah, no, I'm being facetious here. But I'm saying, you know, Linda Cohn, I mean, all of these women that I just mentioned still do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
You know, which is why they're still gainfully employed.
They're great.
But as we all know, you know, it's the flavor of the week, and that's what they throw up there.
Yeah. It's interesting to see the people he put in place. They seem more like the media types rather than any sort of coming up with policy and determining which way the path of the, you know, a candidacy should go. It's a little bit odd.
It's been a very
tumultuous.
I don't even know. Tumultuous is good.
But says who? Says who?
Yeah. No.
My God, that lawyer?
Says who?
All the polls show that Trump is falling behind.
Says who?
So what polls?
All of them. All of them. Says who?
Well, I always go by Real Clear Politics, which located here in Chicago is one of their offices. Because they take the national polls, jam them together, and then spit out the number. And he's behind by what? Let's say 7% will round up, you know, behind Hillary Clinton. Okay. So that's kind of an accurate gauge. All of them. Right. That one is literally all of them.
That's who.
Yeah. But no, he's got some issues. He's got an uphill
battle.
These
are all people who support Ryan Lochte.
What do you think when people say if the election was held today, right? So that precludes anything else that could happen, right? What could happen between now and then that changes the numbers drastically?
Not much.
In Trump's favor?
Not much. The only thing that would happen is, I think we've already gone beyond this point, is some sort of criminal element to what Hillary Clinton's email scandal, if you will, has, you know, that continues to dog her.
But there have been over almost 30 years of investigations on Hillary Clinton, from Whitewater and everything in the White House to the emails to Benghazi. What else? I can't imagine someone who's been under the microscope of the FBI and other committees that have questioned her, have questioned everybody in her life. What is left, really? I mean,
maybe if she opened the university that ripped people off or something.
Yeah,
like
and that's a very fair question. But, you know, then you spin that question around and say, why have these things?
Well,
a
lot of it has been at the insistence of Republicans
from
the very beginning.
But they've brought a lot of this on themselves as well.
The Republicans or the Clintons?
No, the Clintons.
They
may not be doing anything illegal with the way they operate, for instance, the Clinton Global Initiative.
Right.
Okay. But there are always questions raised. Even among the most strident Democrats, they look and go, you know, that's questionable behavior. You cannot, as Secretary of State, be taking in foreign contributions, even if it's totally innocuous. And you know what side I'm on. But I will give her the benefit of the doubt. Even if it's totally innocuous, there is still this air of...
Because she has such a high-powered position. And if someone's giving money to an organization that their name is on...
And not only that, but when you have your husband, who was a former two-term president of the United States, giving speeches well into the six figures to these foreign entities, it's questionable at best. It's nefarious at worst.
Giving speeches is nefarious to foreign entities.
If there has been favor curried in the direction of some of these companies, which there have been loose connections made. Now, there is no smoking gun as of yet. But, you know, there are a lot of issues out there that continue to dog this family.
And look, there have been people in power who have wielded a lot of, sort of influence and have done things like, let's say, molesting young boys before they were ever even in office and perhaps beyond.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have been the most powerful people in office and somehow were able to cover it.
Yep.
And were part of, you know, that. It's just one of those things where, like, if you're in a position of power, and there were never the fact that he was able to hide that for so long, what makes me wonder what else is beneath the surface. So at the investigations that have been sort of thrown at the Clintons is because I think they do so much that is, in the public eye. It all seems to be open for scrutiny. Whereas we're doing other things, we're blackmailing people and we're, you know, doing things in bathrooms. That all is like, well, that's not, we don't need to talk about that stuff. It seems to be all very vague area as to what's going to be questionable, what's going to be investigated, what's going to be under the microscope.
Well, let's be honest. You know, everything in Washington, left, right, center, whatever label you slap on it, everything is political. Everything. Everything. Mm-hmm. You cannot walk out of your building in Washington, D.C. without it being political. And that's the way it's always been. It's the way it always will be.
Absolutely.
And look, we have two people that are running for president this go around that not a whole lot of people like. And it's an unfortunate situation. They're very uninspiring. And I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like Hillary Clinton. And I don't think that I'm alone. So you go to the polls this year and you ask yourself, well, what am I going to do?
Well, and I've said in the past that I was not a fan of Hillary Clinton's. And I would say that a lot of her narrative has been created. When we talk about the media and the left wing and whether or not the sort of the bias that the media has, I've gone back and watched a lot of interviews with her. And I would say a lot of the narrative has been created by the media and by misogyny in general. And the sort of fear of this woman who came out of the Midwest and was very powerful and people was calling her Lady Macbeth. Back in 1992 and saying that she wasn't trustworthy and was she going around the White House saying, out damn spot, that narrative has been there since 1979 and has been perpetuated by both people in the political arenas and in the media, and Roger Bannister is waiting to do the news. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is newsman Rob Martier, who is playing air drums in up here.
You're doing pretty good.
This is very high. They're very high. They're like wall drums. What's going on? I love it. It's we're hanging out on a Friday night, and I was thinking about coming back and talking a little bit more, picking up our conversation when we left off, and I thought, you know what? I was listening to you and Tim talk off the air, which, by the way, I still need to get microphones for the
podcast.
We used to, exactly, but that would be a great podcast. But people wouldn't swear, or they wouldn't put out there what they really think, knowing I was recording it. It would have to be like maybe posthumously, like in a 50 years. Here's what happened off the air. That's what I had to I had to vault it. It had to be my own little time capsule. So instead of talking more politics, Elliot Serrano is shuffling the cards for Exploding Kittens. Ooh. And we're gonna. Have you played Exploding Kittens?
No,
I have not either. Tim, have you played Exploding Kittens?
I played the fifth.
You played the fifth. Oh, is this a bad game?
No, I don't know.
I feel bad. We don't have any for Roger. Roger, you'll be our reviewer.
I don't have any more kittens. They've all been exploded.
They have. All right. Yeah. So Elliot will explain the rules of the game.
Elliot can play for me. You can pull out a hand for me.
Will you please play for him?
Yeah.
I will play for Roger.
Please play for Roger.
All right. So this is the game Exploding Kittens, one of the most popular Kickstarter games ever.
Ever?
Created in part by the creator of The Oatmeal. He came up with this baby. The object of the game is simple. With each turn, you are going to pull a card from the top of this deck. Well, you have cards in your hand right now.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, in your hand,
I see a guy's butt. Why is this cartoon character? Why is he somewhat naked? All right, then.
That's a good. Outside. Yeah. I was going to go punch someone.
don't punch.
What? You will be pulling a card from the top of this deck.
I will do that right now. Okay.
And what you want to do is, if you see the exploding kitten, you want to defuse it. Everyone has one defuse card. Now, once you use the defuse card and you defuse the exploding kitten goes back in the deck. Mm-hmm. Somewhere back in the deck for the next person to pull. Now, you have different cards in your hand that in your turn you can use. Some of them are See Into the Future. If you use the See the Future card, you can look at the next three cards in the deck. If you have there's one called Attack, and it has a picture of,
it says, grow a magnificent squid arm and start slapping fat babies.
There you go. So those are things that you can do. It'll tell you what you can do, what the actual action of the card is in your hand. You can play as many cards in your hand as you want.
Here, for a favor, turn. I'll give you examples. Let me just go ahead and make my phone. So for a favor, what happens if I give a favor?
Well, what does it say on there?
It says, fall so deeply in love, it gives you both crazy diarrhea.
And what is the actual command?
It says one player must give you a card of their choice.
Exactly. Okay. So that means you you go to another player and you pick a card of their choice. So they give you one.
I could see the future. I'll see the future right now. And that's for three cards.
And three cards in the deck.
So see the future, attach a butterfly to your genitalias, and see where it takes you in life.
There you go.
But privately view the top three cards of the deck.
So I have the deck right here. Mm-hmm. And if you have, there are different characters, like Bikini Cat, which is a cat with several...
You have Bikini Cat.
Bikinis on.
Excellent.
Because
they have many nipples.
Cats Schrodinger.
Anyone? Cat Schrodinger? No.
With those, if there is no command, essentially you just need two of the same card, and if you match two of the same card, then you can take a card from somebody else's deck.
Oh. Somebody else's hand. Well, I have an exploding kitten, so I'm going
to... have an exploding kitten? You want to defuse it?
I'm going to defuse it via mauling a baby.
All right. So you defused it.
So the exploding kitten
goes back into the deck.
Okay, into the deck. So just stick it in there somewhere. All right, then.
Put it in there. All right, then. For somebody else to find.
Sorry about
and
that.
And you want to use the future?
Oh, see the future.
Defuse, you lose.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Get rid of that.
It's gone.
All right, see the future. That's the attach a butterfly to your genitalias and see where it takes you in life. Privately view the top three. I have to look at all three. Is it your turn now? Yes.
There you go. You're all good.
Ooh, can I read these?
No, you only want to know them. Only you.
All right.
You want to know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. All right,
okay.
What's next? Yes.
And then are you done with your turn?
Yes.
Or are there any more cards in your hand that you want to play?
I can play these?
You can play as many cards in your hand as you want.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have shuffle. What do I do with these three?
Put them back.
All right. Okay. Shuffle an asparagus. Bum dragon appears.
Okay. And what does the command at the bottom of the card
shuffle say? The draw pile.
Then you can do that if you'd like.
All right. Get ready to play, Elliot.
Throw that card, by the way, into the pile.
I will do that. All right. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right, then.
So are you done?
I am almost done. And also this. Okay. One second. All right.
So.
All right. Your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to go next, and I'm going
to... This is better than politics. I'm just saying right now, this is how we don't talk about Trump.
Well, this is, you know, this is certainly more
this is what happens. You know what?
So, and...
We can make them, for their debate, if we just make Hillary and Donald play exploding kittens.
Donald Trump, I'm holding a Bikini Cat card. There are four sets of bikini tops.
That sounds like a Donald Trump speech already.
It does. Yes. Says who? What polls?
Those.
What nipples?
Those nipples are huge.
There's no problem down there.
Secretary Clinton, I have a nope card.
Nope. Yes. You know what? Everyone should have a nope card.
Yes.
The GOP's been using that on Obama.
How would
for
you
eight
play
years?
The nope card?
Okay, that's right. So what happened? I have pulled the exploding kitten. Another exploding kitten.
Okay.
Wow, was on top.
Okay.
I will use diffuse. I will diffuse it so that way, because the moment the moment you pull the exploding kitten card, if you don't have a diffuse card, you're out of the game. You're done. You've exploded.
Wow.
So my my diffuse is via excessive ball cleaning. So my cat is.
It's the one they play.
Himself.
Never mind.
So anyway,
toy.
It's a toy.
It's a tennis ball.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that, and I'm also going to.
Here's a good question. I'm
going to attack.
Oh.
Okay.
Why?
Because I can.
Because are there Muslims involved?
Yes. I'm going to end my turn without drawing a card and force the next player, who is Rob Martyr, to take two turns.
Wow, to two turns. Now, okay.
Give him a deck.
All right, I have a skip card. Can I play that?
That would be one turn.
Okay.
So then,
yeah. I have a skip card. It says here, to evade dirty Sasquatch underpants. End your turn without drawing a card. Okay, so there we go.
That was one turn.
All right, so now what do I do with my skip card?
Put it on the discard. Right,
okay,
there
we go.
And then now your next, if you have another card you want to play to avoid that second turn, you can.
Can I play my Bikini Cat card?
Do you have a second Bikini Cat card?
I do not.
Then you can't do anything with it yet.
How about a shuffle card with this werewolf in the toilet?
You can do that if you'd like.
Okay. Well, I would like to play my werewolf in a toilet card.
Me too.
I mean, is it not? It literally looks like a werewolf. It's cute, but it's a werewolf in the toilet.
There you go. Put that in your discard. Okay, take the stack there on the left.
All right.
And shuffle them up.
Okay. There we go. Mm-hmm.
And then once your turn is concluded, you can pass it on to Tim.
There we go. Tim?
right.
You're up again.
Okay, Tim, so you have cards in your hand.
Yes.
You can start to play. If you don't have anything that you want to play, just want to pull a card off the top of the deck.
Now, Ellie, what's the idea? Do I need to get rid of all my cards?
Is that the idea is you don't want to get exploded.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So the game ends when one person has not been exploded.
Nice. Okay. All right.
So, Tim, go
I know
ahead.
Which card I'm hanging on to, though.
Wait. So you just pull a card off the top.
I feel like a nope card is super important.
Well, if you want, you can... If using the nope card, like, let's say you pull an exploding kitten on the top of the deck. The nope card will nullify that.
All right, so... No.
Like, whatever happens in the hand, you'll say nope.
New beginning? Huh? No, so... Diffuse. Diffuse?
If you pull an exploding kitten, that is specifically for that, correct? Mm.
So if I don't have to... do I have to pick a card here?
You want
to
save your diffuse card.
One, yes.
Save the diffuse card.
I want to pick one.
This is like every board game ever, Roger, isn't it? What now? What do I do again?
You lost me after you said shuffle the deck. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you pull one.
Yes.
And then you can put and you can either end there or you can put one down.
This is how we don't talk about politics, Roger.
Yeah, I barely can get through war. I mean, seriously.
What is it good for? Go ahead, Tim.
Nothing.
I feel like Roger... mostly I think in his voice. Like
that's
weird?
Elegant. That's I like weird. That.
No, it is elegant, but it also makes I'm like behind a little bit in some things. Like, because everything I do is very calm and collected. That's a lie.
Oh,
So if I have a zombie cat.
Ooh.
Right. Do you have two zombie cats?
Cut off its head. Yes. Cut off its head.
Two zombie cats.
Yes.
Then you can, if you have two zombie cats,
yes,
you can take a card from anybody else's hand.
Where do I put the two zombie cats?
The two zombie cats go in the discard.
In the discard.
And now pick who you want to take a card from.
You, because you know what's up.
All right, so I'll let you pick at random. Here, one of the three cards.
Oh, this is a lot of drama. Yeah, pick two cards right now.
All right.
WGNRadio.com to watch a card game and listen to a card game.
Yeah.
All
man,
yeah,
16 nipples scintillating. In my hand right now.
All right,
can I play? Can
All
I play?
Right, so is your turn done?
You haven't played Roger's hand yet, have you?
Well, I want to play my hypno.
I've been playing
your hypno.
Yeah,
yeah, and my pincer.
So
those are my
so
two
good.
Highest ones.
All right, Patty. It's your
I have
turn.
A skip card, and so it says, "Go base jumping using a pair of old lady boobs."
Ooh, base jumping. Ooh.
Okay.
Hoop skirts.
I don't know why you'd want to play.
I don't know.
Card,
well, I don't know how you'd.
But if the shoe fits.
Well, it's that, or I can see the future. Discover a boob wizard living in your boobs.
Oh, I like that one.
Listen to the secret he tells.
Is there a boob wizard?
I did drop a peanut in there earlier.
A peanut. It's still there.
Yeah, that's kind of the hazard of having.
All right. Yes. So, what do you want to do?
I will. I think I could nope. Deliver some nope on your jump rope. More like jump nope.
Jump nope.
Yeah. Ooh.
I know, I like that too. Or I could unleash some adorable penguin diarrhea by attacking. I think I'm going to attack with that.
So who are you going to attack?
I'm going to attack you.
Okay. So that means you're going to?
Yes.
Take a card.
Okay.
All right.
One of your cards?
One of these.
There you go. You took my only good card.
All right, then.
Do you get to put your poop card and on his card?
And that card, by the way, your attack card goes in the discard pile.
All right, then.
Which you now have.
All right, then. Yeah,
so she's getting rid of her poop.
That's right.
Is that
discard
right?
Here?
Getting rid of the loose stool.
Oh, yeah.
The loose stool.
Okay. Right. Yes. You don't want. Yes. And there we go.
Okay.
So.
Craig looks a little bit stupefied by what's happening.
Okay, so I just pulled a favor card, and I'm going to use that against Patty. Patty, give me my card back.
All right, then. Which one was that again?
The one
that
you just took.
I thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
hey, that's
you
not
much.
Fair.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That works.
And I'm going to.
He said it's like Uno. This is nothing like Uno.
No.
You just don't want to get blown up.
Also, you sunk my battleship.
That's actually closer to battleship.
All right, then.
All right,
you go ahead. You guys go ahead and keep playing, and we're going to do this. You are listening pretty late. We only have a few minutes left. Is Matt Bubala in tonight?
No, he's not.
Who's here tonight?
Leslie Harris and I forgot who the gentleman is.
All right.
With her. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I've
never met him before, so I don't know.
Nope, I don't have an updated list.
Wham until 5.
A little bit of wham. We are calling our very good friend of the show, Michael Silver, who was here last night, and give him a little update on what we did tonight. You know, all the stuff that happened. Let's just leave him. he's not going to answer the phone. I think that people... Oh, by the way, I ran into John Cass earlier this week, and not pleased with us calling him. That's going to stop.
You have reached...
That's Michael Silver, who is part of the Chicago Dance Collective, a wonderful comedy dancing improv group, and they have the Chicago Music Improv Festival coming up at I.O. the 25th through the 28th, and we are leaving him a voicemail. Are we on his voicemail right now? Oh, I don't know. We don't know if we're on his voicemail. Hey, Michael Silver, it's Patty Vasquez.
Craig Collins.
And up in newsroom, we have
Roger Battish.
And in the studio,
Rob Martier.
Over here,
Elliot Serrano.
And our friend from Poor Souls. Oh, hold on a second. Let me do that again. We didn't hear you. It was my fault. Your mic wasn't on.
I make drinks for a living.
Tim Williams. We had a great show tonight. We only have a couple minutes left, but I want to thank you again for coming in last night, Michael. It was great to hang out with you and Stacey. Tonight, we played What's in the Box, which was one of my favorite games. Tim, you had a particular favorite in the game tonight. I loved that you picked your contestant who you wanted to read for. That was lovely. It's a
Bev
first.
And I had a thing.
You did. Bev and you were connected somehow.
Are you and Bev going to meet up later, you know? Maybe have some drinks.
Yeah, maybe play some Exploding Kittens.
2 o'clock. I got 2 more hours before my bar is closed. So. Well.
Are there any 5 a.m. bars in Chicago or just 4 a.m. is the latest?
No, 5 a.m. So it's 5 a.m. on Saturday.
It is? Okay.
If you're a 4 a.m. 6 days out of the week, you're a 5 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, but are we Friday or Saturday right now?
Yeah, what's happening right now?
Right now, it's from the time you open. So we're Friday.
Oh. Let's lock into that information.
Wow. So we've got Friday bar hours right now.
I'm just saying, for all my guests who are like, oh, I'm so glad. No, we start on Friday. So we start on the day of, so 11 p.m., wait, why are you waving people over? I've not seen a guest wave over more people than take
13 selfies right now.
You're with people and all beautiful women.
Yeah, all beautiful, of course.
Well, there's a guy who's not bad.
He's very handsome. Yes, and
we
none
don't
of
discriminate.
Them. And none of them have rubbed body parts. We need all of your selfies that you've taken.
Fortunately, because our guys just cleaned the windows.
Yes. Yeah. Really, please don't put your. You know, he's trying to tell you to get closer. We need this entire gallery.
Look, they even got their
selfies.
Poses down.